All right, this Shabbos is Shabbos Shuvah. Every time we learn on Wednesday nights, we try to connect a halachic sugya to the Parsha. I had a little bit of a crazy day and week in general, so I did not put my official title on the document, on the Vekorah sheet in front of you yet, but I entitled the document, if you see a saved document is saved as our relationship with coffee. I was going to name it something along the lines of, you know, analyzing our relationship with coffee, and I'll preface with the following. As a teacher, so we have periods, and sometimes you can have four periods in a row, five periods in a row, and I'm sure Rabbi Weintraub in his decades of experience will relate that is, you know, you can really use a cup of coffee to get through a period of teaching. So you're teaching combined to high school kids. So for many years, Baruch Hashem, I've been teaching four straight periods in the morning. And I have found that my patience level for my students gets a little bit weaker as the morning, you know, goes on. And that's not good. So what do I usually do? Between periods two and period three, I have a cup of coffee. I go to the teacher's room and I have coffee. And, you know, there's a Keurig machine. I usually put ice in it, add some milk and sugar. And I go back to period three refreshed. And the head of school at the time, Rabbi Yablok, now is in a different yeshiva or Yisrael, and he at the time said at a faculty meeting, said, listen, if you come to class late with a cup of coffee, that's really unacceptable. You know, your teachers, you need to be to your own classes on time. We expect the students to be on time. You should be on time. Meaning if you walk to your own classroom a minute late with a cup of coffee, it's not acceptable. And my father-in-law, Shlita Rabbi Dr. Jay Goldman, he ran Ramaz for 30 years. Now he's a teacher in Mayanot, also writes for Koren. He told me once that he felt that it was really gezeila, that if a teacher shows up a minute late to a classroom with a cup of coffee because they were busy getting coffee, he thought it was gezeila. Whoa. Okay? So I want to give you a little bit of where I'm coming from as I'm doing my own cheshbon nefesh as we approach Yom Kippur. And let's start with the Parsha. We know that Hashem in Ha'azinu is described as Hatsur Tamim Po'alo. So literally a perfect rock, a stone in his works. Ki kol derachav mishpat. All of God's ways are, you know, proper. Mishpat means justified, justice, representing justice. He's a God, kel emunah. He's reliable. He is, you know, you can rely in him. Ve'ein avel. There's no crooked nature to him. No corruption. Tzadik v'yashar hu. He is righteous. Now Rashi comments from Chazal, or hakol matzdikim aleim es dino. Meaning, the Mefarshim, Sifsei Chachamim on Rashi explain, the Torah doesn't need to talk about God. God doesn't need any haskama. But the point is that people's perception of God is even that God is just in all his ways. Meaning, everyone is going to justify God's judgment. Hakol matzdikim aleim as dino, which would mean that when we get to the next world and God says, listen, you get rewarded for this, you get punished for that, no one's going to appeal. No one's going to say, God, you know what, you really misunderstood. No, God's perfect. And therefore, when he judges you and he punishes you, that is to, you know, an unprecedented degree. And everyone will basically acknowledge the correct nature of God's judgment. And you'll say, yeah, God, you're right. I deserve this punishment or you know, I appreciate the gift that I received for this. Tzadik mipiabriya, so all of the you know creations in the world, they all acknowledge that God is fair. The Yashahu Veroil Hatzdiko, he deserves to be credited. Good. So along the lines of imitating God, we should realize that in the same way that people look to the Ribono Shel Olam as someone who's very fair, someone who gives people what they deserve, so too we also need to live a lifestyle that we can look at ourselves in the mirror and say, you know, we're kind of living up to God's standards of not pulling moves, not being a little bit sneaky. Everyone looks at God and says, God is yashar. What he does is correct. We're humans, there are people who are straight shooters, and they say, you know, that guy deserves a salary, he's a hard worker. And unfortunately, there are other people where you might be quick to judge and say they come off as a little shady. A little corruption, a little bit of a non-kosher type of activity. And it's important to maybe heighten the sensitivity because when we get to do Yom Kippur and we clap al chayt for many things, we might feel like we're really not guilty for many of them, right? God, last time I checked, I don't think I stole anything, yet I'm going to clap al chayt for gzeila. And the question is, what in the world is that about, right? And I don't think it takes a particularly righteous individual to not steal. You know, I think most people don't steal, right? So what does it mean? It means that there are blind spots where we don't think we're stealing, but there might be some form of neglect where we are shortchanging a system. And that's why I prefaced with that example of the cup of coffee, where it's like, okay, Mandelstam, you didn't cheat on your taxes, but do you know that the parents of TABC are paying, you know, let's say a pretty penny for their kids to go to class? And if you are a minute late, that's not okay. It's not okay. And again, everyone can kind of relate to it in their own way, but there is an entire field. I forgot the official term. There's an official term. I unfortunately forgot the term, where people steal things and they justify it, where like they take the shampoo from the hotels, or you go apple picking and you take the apples that have fallen to the floor.
I don't know the exact term, Rabbi, but companies, the understanding is, budget for this in their, they budget for with this understanding.
Yeah, it's a tremendously expensive industry where companies have to expect people to steal from them because they think it's okay. And my father-in-law spoke to someone who runs an apple orchard with people who go apple picking, and he said, we have signs all over the place that say, please don't eat apples here. Like, you have to put them in a bag, and you pay for them, and you leave. But they know everyone's going to eat the apples. And it costs them a fortune, and they have to budget for that. And that means built into the system, unfortunately, is that the world has given up on mankind to some degree, where stealing is part of the norm. And that's what we're clapping al-Khayt for, where it's a given to some degree that someone's going to steal a pen by accident, or they're not going to realize that it's wrong to steal some shampoo from a hotel or something along those lines. So hopefully this evening we can heighten that sensitivity a bit with some of the sources. And I just showed you the wrong things. Let me try that again. New share. Let me just go back to Microsoft Word. Okay, so Rav Nevin Sal Shlita Shliv Admeva Esrim, rather old individual, and the Rav of the Old City in Yerushalayim, a genius, a tremendous tzaddik, a gadol hador. So he has wonderful svarim, and he was asked the following question. Im machmas haslichos lo yishan maspik. So I won't get enough sleep if I go to slichos, right? If I go to the 12:50 slichos, or I wake up with a 5:45 slichos, I'm going to be a wreck. Ukitotza'a mikach yifgam limudo. So I'm not going to be able to learn properly. And matzav rucho, I'll be in a bad mood. O tfilato, I won't be able to daven with as much kavana. Maya Aseh. So Rav Nevin, should I really do the whole slichos thing, even though it's my tired exhaustion will ruin my avodas Hashem? Answers Rav Nevin, Mikom makom yomar slichos. Meaning, okay, you'll be tired, and that's what I spoke about last week, where it's kind of the playoff sports where you play injured, you kind of give it your all. We learn from Avram Avinu that you give Judaism your all, you invest every ounce of your energy, and it's a nice thing. Okay, like who shouldn't be tired? It's Tishrei, it's the Aseret Yemei. Like, we should be a little tired. And, you know, that's like the time of year to be tired. However, look at the next question, Sheila Yud Gimel. Im amirat haslichos, if by saying slichos, tifka bitifkod shel malamid, as a Rebbe, it will affect my job, meaning I will be less able to teach. O shel oved sachir, machmas ayifut. So, I don't know, I do some job, I get paid, and because of my slichos, I'll be more tired. Oshelo yachinu heitev kergalam. I'll be more sloppy at work. Ma'alem asot. And what's Rav Nevin Zal Paskin on this one? Asur lahem lomar haslichot. Absolutely forbidden. Wow. So what an interesting contrast, right? So say slichot, even though you'll be tired. If you're a yeshiva bacher, or if you're a regular person, be tired. But if it will affect your work ethic and your ability to perform professionally, it's forbidden for you to do that. Wow. So new, Stuart Rubin. So what's Pshat and Rabbi Avin Sal? So what's the alumnus there? What's the alumnus? What's he basically saying?
I think you have to look, you have to go to the seventh Brachos.
Oh, right? Very good. Excellent.
And you look over there about workers and their... what kind of leeway they have to say Shema or Davin and getting down from a tree or not getting down from a tree.
There it is. That's why Dr. Rubin has been named Dr. Rubin. Now, Stuart, I hope you're mocking me for putting you on the spot, by the way.
I felt like I was back in high school.
Yeah. I apologize. I don't always differentiate between my TABC hat and my Shomer Torah hat. Stuart, you got an A plus.
Listen,
it
used to be Ruben. What's the next word?
Very good. Very good. So I was not asking you because I was in doubt whether or not you were secretly texting under your desk. I was asking you because I was confident in your bikias. So I was just kind of showing off your bikias skills, and I know you wouldn't do that yourself. Absolutely. So there's a whole sugya in Maseches Brachos about po'alin, about whether or not someone who goes to work is allowed to bench, is he allowed to, you know, daven mincha. And we assume that nowadays, you know, you're allowed to bench that minute because it's part of the system. But it's pretty amazing how exacting the Gemara is and the Halacha is. And the Mesillas Yesharim actually has a whole chapter of Nikias where he really, you know, elaborates on that Gemara. And he shows you how precise the Torah is when it comes to being a Yashar Jew, to the degree that you might not be able to recite the entire Shema or the entire Birkas HaMazon, because by doing so, you're going to be stealing from your boss. So that, our source, if I would have had a little bit more time, I would have put that. If I would have taken more time, I would have put those on the sheet. I'm going to show you very similar halachas, basically the same concept. But absolutely right, Stuart Rubin, that the Torah says black on white in many halachos that you can't cut corners at work. And here's the first example we'll give. Melame tinokos, sheminiach hatinokos v'yotze. So imagine the Rebbe, or the cheder Rebbe, who leaves his children at work and leaves the classroom. Osha osa malach acheres imam. Or, you know, he's texting because he has a real estate job while, you know, the kids are, you know, reading their chumash. Osha misrashel betalmudo. Holy smokes. Or he's just lazy in his education. I mean, he's not teaching the class to the appropriate degree. Harei ze bechlal arur osa malachas Hashem remiya. So what is this curse in Sefer Yirmiyahu? Cursed is the person who is tricky, who is deceitful in his work. The fichach ein lahashiv melamed ela ba'al ha'ira, mayer likro ledaktik. Holy smokes. So I'll tell you what I struggle with in high school. So you show some kids, you know, some footage of sports, some sports highlights. It goes a long way because you're not only trying to teach Torah, you're trying to cultivate a relationship. So if a kid thinks the Rebbe is relatable, it goes a long way. So it's tricky balance. At the same time, you can't, you know, there's a big yitzhara there to say, oh, listen, I'll prepare one line of Gemara with one Rashi, and the rest of the period, 20 minutes, we'll just watch sports highlights on YouTube, and it'll be great. You know, that's not appropriate. And there have been times in TABC where Rabbi Adler, the Rosh Yeshiva, has basically made it clear that there have been some leniencies that, you know, in this halacha, and it's inappropriate, which is fascinating. And it's a major yitzhara in this day and age than ever before, because we have a smart, you know, a smart board in the room with internet, and it's very tempting to show sports highlights, to watch a video, whatever it may be, some music, and you have to ask yourself very honestly, is this enhancing the Talmud Torah, or is this Bittul Torah? So again, there's room for Bittul Torah, and sometimes Bittul Torah is really a kiyum in Talmud Torah. You have to make time for Bittul Torah and high school education, but sometimes it's simply inappropriate, mamish inappropriate. Wow. It says the Ramah, Ramosh Isserles commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, v'ein lemelamed lenor balayla. Oh my, if you're a Rebbe, you think you're so frum, you'll step late at night learning? No. Don't step too late, yosem yidai. Shelo yeh atzel biyom lelamed. You got to get to work in the morning. If you're going to be too tired and exhausted for your Talmidim in the morning, you're not doing any mitzvah by staying up late learning Mandelstam. V'chein lo yit'aneh, you should not fast. Now again, this is not as practical for our generation, but fasting used to be a lot more popular. O la'atzor b'machal l'mishter, again, I don't have these issues. But if a Rebbe would think that he's particularly pious for cutting meals here and there as like a tshuva, no, that's not the right way to do it, because you're going to be a shmata for your Talmidim. O la'achov l'shos yotim edai, or don't overeat. If you undereat, you overeat, you oversleep, you undersleep, you're not going to teach to the appropriate degree. So basically, this is grounds for dismissal, and someone's contract may not be renewed because of this on a halachic level. Wow. Well, and again, the modern day equivalent is not so different. You know, obviously, the head of school sees that the Rebbe is cutting corners and he's showing up, he's texting during class. But I'll tell you, if I had to look at teachers, if I see a teacher texting during one of their classes, to me, that's a bright red flag. That's also one of the bigger yetzaharas these days, where if, let's say, I give my talmidim chavrusa time for 5 minutes. So, all right, so now it's time for me to do my thing, right? I'll check my email, I'll check my WhatsApp text, maybe I have to take care of some other things. Nowadays, we're so preoccupied with a dozen things at the same time. So this halacha is harder to keep probably than ever before, right? So maybe in earlier generations, so there's a temptation to take a smoking break or to get a cup of coffee or something like that. Now the phone is out of control, simply out of control. And as Stuart was alluding to, the halacha again in Choshen Mishpat, Ein apol rashai lasos malacha balayla, ulhatzker atzma bayom. Unbelievable. You can't work two jobs. Oh my gosh. Now what does that mean? It doesn't mean literally I work two jobs, right? This is my second job of the day. So you're not allowed to work at night and also renting yourself out during the daytime. V'lo yurav v'yisagiv atzma v'yachal mezonosav levanav, meaning don't starve yourself. Imagine you earn a certain amount of money and you give your food to your children instead of to yourself. No. Why? Because if you starve yourself, minei bito malachto shabal abayis. Again, by wearing yourself too thin, it's simply inappropriate. Shehare machlish kocho shelo yuchal asas malachas bal abayis b'koach. Do you realize what that means? You're showing up to work on time. Are you doing your job? Yes. But because you're driving on a half a tank, as opposed to a full tank, so to speak, your energy levels are not charged to full battery. You're not performing the mitzvah of being a Yashar Jew. And I'm getting all these sources from that Rav Neventhal Sefer in the footnote. Okay, so that's why Mr. Weintraub, Rabbi Weintraub, is on sabbatical, recharging those batteries. So he's not, yeah. Rabbi Weintraub, yeah, what do you have to say about this topic?
Bad example, Rabbi. I'm working very hard with my classes.
Why? You're on sabbatical.
I'm taking courses. I am working very hard.
But you're a student. You're a paying customer, huh?
That's true. It's not.
Yeah, so you can do
whatever
you want.
Customer, but I want to do well. So it's not a good example. But you're right. When I have intercession, that's when you can say Rabbi Weintraub sitting on a sabbatical.
I hear that. That's a good point. Yes, AV is always growing. But I would imagine in different professions, I think lawyers, they bill the hour, right? It's a very, very difficult situation, right? Where, let's just say I'll leave it at that. But if a lawyer has to bill an hour, you have to be very, very honest if you've earned that hour, right? Imagine if you get a family WhatsApp text, right? And it's shtick. It's just humorous, right? All the humor that goes around on WhatsApp, and the memes and all these like funny, quarantine references. And you're at your job, yet you have enough time to text. It just seems a little bit, we'll say, in question regarding its, this particular halacha. And a very similar halacha, again, Talmud Chacham, Eino Rashai Leishev B'Tainus. Now here's a very fascinating one. You're learning, unless you're in Kolel. Oh, wow. So even if you're learning in Kolel, you're learning full-time, but while fasting, you won't be able to apply yourself to Talmud Torah as much as also not good. Oh, if there's a Tainus Sibor, the Kolel Chavar should also join the Tainus. You don't separate from the Tzibor. And as we said earlier, a Rebbe, even if he's not learning in Kolel, has the same status. And the Mishnah Brura has a comment on that. It's two strikes. So if Mandelstam is weak, number one, Deika Beitarti, there are two strikes against him. Number one, Shemamatim of Lech Hashemayim, I'm not teaching as much Torah. And number two, V'gozlin Es Abrios, I'm stealing. Again, you're paying customers who are investing in the Rebbe. And by me being too tired to teach, so number one, there's less Torah. It's like the Kolel guy whose Torah is weakened. And number two, it's like any regular business. You're stealing. Holy smokes. Okay. So I think those Makoros are a little European, so to speak. Does anyone have any questions or comments on that? I don't know how it works in different fields. But obviously, the Musar from the Halacha here is pretty clear that in the same way that the Ribono Shel Olam is very straight, very honest, the Halacha, it requires a man to be beyond honest and truthful. Anyone have any comments?
Your coffee,
yeah,
and then you can learn. You can be
defense is better, then you're going to be better.
Very good. So that's how I justify stealing. Yes.
Take a break and come in a minute late. If that means you're going to teach better, you've done your students a favor.
Oh, that's for sure. Very good. So I have justified this. You can imagine my Yetzer Hara has written a tshuva about this, you know, with all the fancy makoros. You know, and Adam, that is exactly the justification. So I'll tell you what happens. There are 4 minutes between the two periods. Four. Now, if I run to the teacher's room and there's no line, yashar shebe yashar. What if there's a line for coffee? What if there's a line for coffee? Yikes, right? So then I need to pull out this fancy heter that Adam's giving me. Again, I relied on Adam for Tekiah Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. So,
Rabbi, it's not a heter. It's a thermos. You prepare in advance. This way, Rabbi Goldman says, right, I know Rabbi Goldman, so I worked at Rabbi Dr. Goldman,
sorry, my father-in-law.
This way, Rabbi Dr. J. Goldman says, right. Oh. Because if you rely on, yeah, it'll be okay, 4 minutes, become 5 minutes, become 6 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I always have the backup ready, so you can run back to your class and be there on time, and it's not the best tasting coffee. And if you make it in 4 minutes, you can hold on to that not best tasting coffee for another break.
Very good. I like it a lot. Very, very good. So, all right, maybe I'll invest in a thermos after this, but the truth is I prefer iced coffee all year. Anyway, should be noted, just a preference. A slight halachic advantage as well, right? Because you don't have to worry about the Borei Nefashos question. If you just sip coffee, it's not so clear if you make a bracha achron or whatever. Anyway, so I always have iced coffee anyway. And but if I make it before my first period, it'll be cold by third period anyway. So it actually works out nicely. But very good. So on one hand, Dr. Karp comes out and says, man, let's come on. Everyone knows that if you have a cup of coffee, it'll help you and you're doing everyone a favor. And the parents of TABC are investing in a sane Rebbe who has patience, not for a cranky Rebbe. And at the same time, Rabbi Weintraub is saying, yeah, no kidding, but at the same time, you know, you could be a little bit smart. Ezu chacham haros anolad, you have a little bit of foresight. You know, don't take a risk. And perhaps the approach we need to take in the Aseret Yemei Tshuva is to analyze blind spots like this, where if I would originally come to Hashem on the Yom HaDin and say, Hashem, I don't steal. Come on. But then when you look at these halachas, it's like, wait a minute, maybe I could be doing a little bit better in being that much more straightforward, that much more yashar. So let's go on to an amazing comment of the Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim, number one, I believe another hope to add to these Makotos, writes about this in the Kiyos, again, as Stuart mentioned, like Gemara Brachos, and he writes a lot about this particular topic. But there's another idea. The Mesilas Yesharim actually quotes our pasuk in Perek Dalet, towards the end of where he speaks about Zahirus, being, you know, careful and calculated. Before you act, you should stop and think. Umash Amar Moshe Rabbeinu Mashal, this week's parsha, Tzor Tamim Pa'alo, right? Hashem is complete, is reliable, he's honest, right? Exactly the pasuk we began with. Ki Kevan Shekadosh Baruch Hu Rotze B'Mishpat. So since Hashem wants real justice, well, Hinei Kachu Over El Mishpat. Well, he would be violating that if the following were to take place. Meaning, he has to be exacting both with regard to punishment and with regard to reward. Right? If God was quick to reward but slow to punish, that would not be fair. Right? If God is perfectly fair, so he needs to be exactly fair, which means if you deserve to be punished, you get the punishment. If you deserve the reward, you get the reward. Al kein, in Mishpat who wrote that, Tzarech sheyitein l'chol ish kidrachav, ukapri ma'alav v'tachlis adikduk. So Hashem is honest, which means you're going to get exactly what you deserve. Bein litov, bein lemuta, v'hainu keel emunah v'ein alaval tzadik v'yashar hu. Exactly our pasuk. Which means if you got an 85 on the test, we don't round it up to a 90. Sheperishu zala tzadikim v'lasharim. Chazal comments on our pasuk. Hashem is honest with you, whether for good or for bad. Ki kachi hamida v'al hakol hudan v'al kol chetu ma'anish v'ein lihimalit. Holy smokes. Right, this is Elul Gemara, right? This is Elul Alon and Mr. Hashem. I mean, you get what you deserve, right? The high school kid who asks the Rebbe, please, I studied so hard. Can you please give me a few extra credit points? The answer from the Ribbono Shel Olam at this point is no, you didn't deserve it. Whoa. V'im tomar, but then you ask, im kein, midas harachamim, lamihi omed. So wait a minute, isn't Hashem known as a merciful God? Come on, Rebbe, a little bit of slack. Right? Isn't God also someone who's known to have rachamim? not to overlook completely. He's not a vatran. He doesn't ignore your sins, but there should be some leeway. No. So where's the room for rachamim? Asks the Mesilas Yesharim. Where's the room for rachamim? Hatshuva, vada midas rachamim hi, kimo shel olam. Without rachamim, the world would fall apart. Shelo haya omed zulaso klav v'klav. Va'af ha'pikein ein midas ha'din loke. V'zeh. Now, where does the rachamim fall to place? Ki levishuras ha'din mamish. If Hashem was only strict judgment, the second you sin, you should get punished. Take it to oh, believe I'm on a cloud. If God were not merciful, He would punish you on the spot. Begam, and also Hashem could punish you not kindly, but with a big patch. Karoi, fit lemisha mamra piaboris baruch shemo. You rebelled against God. You failed. You should get a slap in the face, so to speak. There should be no way to fix your avera. Meaning what? Tshuva is rachamim. If God were to be exacting, you'd get punished on the spot. There'd be no makeup exam. No. How is it fathomable? How can a man fix as a share ives? Man sinned. How can that sin be erased? So Hashem has tremendous rachamim. That when you do tshuva, it's erased. Right? That's what the Mesilas Yesharim is explaining. That when you go up to Hashem and Yom Kippur, and you say, Hashem, I really regret it. I admit it. I don't want to do it again. That's rachamim. Where Hashem says, listen, you created evil. There was evil in the world because of you. If I were a strict judge, you'd get patched on the spot. But because I'm a rachamim, I'm giving you the opportunity to do tshuva. Now again, there is a famous essay by Rav Chaim Wasserman explaining that, which is not for this evening. It's a very famous idea that it's not really rachamim. What do you mean? Because if you regret a mitzvah, you lose the schar. So if you regret an avera, you should also not get punished. That's actually not din. That's not rachamim. It's din. Not for now. That being said, we have to appreciate the gift of Yom Kippur. We're coming up to Shabbat Shuva and to Yom Kippur this week. And we approach God as one who is beyond honest, but one who is giving us an out. Someone who says, listen, I'm going to give you time to do tshuva. And I thought, b'derech drash, that is how you can explain the well-known miracle in the Beis HaMikdash, that there was enough space for everyone to bow in the Beis HaMikdash. We will be bowing several times on Yom Kippur to imitate the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah B'Kehava says, Asara Nisiv Nasul Avaseinu B'Beis HaMikdash, one of the 10 miracles of the Beis HaMikdash was Omdim Tzfufim. They were packed like sardines. They were all standing, you know, scrunched up together. However, umishtachavim revachim, when everyone bowed down, miraculously there was enough space for everyone to bow down. Now, the Bartanura, Vajrabi Bartanura, has a fascinating explanation of that. Did God make such a miracle like that? Why was it necessary for that miracle? Bishas hashtachava naslem nes, umishtachavim revachol echad, rachuk michavera arba amos. Everyone had their own private 4 amos. Imagine 7 feet to yourself when you bow down. What did they do when they bowed down? They confessed their sins. How embarrassing it would have been if Adam Karp overheard me confessing my sins. So therefore, Hashem made a miracle that you can bow down and no one will be within an earshot of you. So when you bow down and confess your sins, no one will overhear your confession. And that's why there needed to be such a miracle, to avoid embarrassment. And I think B'derech Drash, you could elaborate in a similar way. What does it mean to have room to bend over, right? God also, in the same way, if he was exacting, we wouldn't have wiggle room, so to speak. We would be strict din. And it's another nesh that Hashem gives us enough space, so to speak, to bow down and confess our sins. In the same way that in the Beis HaMikdash, God made a miracle, so to tshuva is an act of rachamim, where Hashem lets us bow down, confess our sins, and He is not going to squelch us because He understands that we're human. He understands we do need a cup of coffee. And there is room to come up with a better system for the upcoming year if there were shortcomings. So all, in summary, we saw some intense halachos tonight that are, quote-unquote, a little bit European, that the Torah really wants you to treat your job very, very seriously. We don't like cutting corners. You have to question what might be normal in Western society might be below the standards of the Torah. That being said, God understands that we might not always live up to that standards, and tshuva is beyond miraculous, as we have Hashem's rachamim, to give us a little bit more space than we might really deserve.